Let's call out to him right now together. Come on. Let's call out to him. God's about to do a mighty work here in this place. He's about to do a mighty work at this hour. Hallelujah. Let's take this time. Let's pray. Let's call out to him. God, pour out your anointing. Pour out your spirit, oh God. We need your spirit, oh God, on this church. We pray for more of your spirit, oh God. Let's pray. Let's take this time. Let's call out to him. Come on. Let's pray.
Lord, I bind up, oh God, Lord, every oppressive, every distracting, every, oh God, doubting spirit over this place. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every work of the devil right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And I pray, oh God, that you loosen this place, oh God. Your mighty holy fire. Loosen this place, oh God. Your almighty high holy fire, Father. Rakara ya da 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 seti. Lokoro da 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 ba kondo da da ya da 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 ba seti. Loosen this place, oh God, your spirit. Loose your spirit in this place. Loose your spirit in this place, oh God. Loose your spirit in this place, oh God. Loose your spirit, oh God, Lord. Hallelujah. We call out to you, oh God. We call out to you, oh God. We call out to you, oh God. Come on, come on. You got to open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Come on, come on, come on, come on, pray, pray. I want all the leaders, open your mouth and pray. Pray in the spirit. All the leaders, open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Come on.
On you, Jesus. Magnify, we glorify your holy name, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. We just bless your holy name, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. It says in your word that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And God, we take hold of that joy right now because it is ours. It is something that no one can touch, that no man can steal away, that no devil can get in the way of. It's our joy in you, oh God. It's our joy in you. Hallelujah. We just thank you, God. Hallelujah. Loose your spirit in this place today. Loose your spirit in this place today. Break every oppressive yoke, oh God. Break every yoke for which you have, oh God, targeted for it to be broken. I pray you would destroy it by the anointing of your spirit. And we lift off this place every oppressive, every mocking, every antagonistic spirit right now in the name of Jesus. We come against the works of the enemy. We take authority over every work of the enemy right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, God, Lord, that it's breaking off right now. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open up our hearts. Open up the heavens, God. Do a mighty work. Show us your glory, God. Do a mighty work, God. Do a mighty supernatural work. Hallelujah today. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Susie. Hallelujah. All right, we just want to welcome everybody to JSCM. If this is your first time. We just want to welcome you. We're glad that you can join us here. We're just inviting the Holy Spirit. We're just inviting the presence of our God into this place. We hope that's okay with you. Kevin, could you close that curtain right there? Close that all off. Are we good back there? All right, hallelujah. All right, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Let's read the passage again. And hallelujah, we're going to preach. We're going to preach today. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Let me get this mic too. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's read that together, everybody. I'm going to read it from the ESV. 1, 2, 3. Shijak. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, somebody say suddenly. There came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What did they begin to do? They began to speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. In obedience to the Lord's leading, I'm going to preach today about one thing and one thing only. This is the first time we're doing this on a Sunday. But hallelujah, it's time. Today I'm going to preach on the hidden power of speaking in tongues. You know, it's sad. I hear too many stories of missionaries who travel thousands of miles to learn a foreign language. And they go and they try to reach a certain people group. But they return home defeated, divorced, diseased. They spend thousands of hours and dollars learning how to speak a new language like Chinese or Russian. But they see little to no fruit. If only they would have tapped into the power of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. If only they would have spent a few of those thousands of hours learning Chinese and instead spent it praying in tongues, they would have seen dramatically different results. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the same with pastors, campus ministers, and lay leaders. Whether they have THMs or PhDs, because the nature of advancing the kingdom of God requires taking over enemy territory without tongues, they begin a fight that they are ill-equipped to win. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. As a church today, we need to restore this wonderful gift. And we got to begin teaching on the hidden power of speaking in tongues. That hasn't really happened on Sundays here at JSCM, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, it's time. It's time. Now, speaking in tongues is not just a bizarre phenomena that God gives as an indicator that people are being filled with the Spirit. No, it's not just a sign. It's not just the indicator. Speaking in tongues is a war language. Hallelujah. It's a love language. Hallelujah. It's a prayer language inspired by the Holy Ghost. And I believe that I am one of many voices who will openly advocate and teach
and preach on tongues at this hour. All the negative stigma attached with tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to take it on. Once this thing goes on podcast, it's game over. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Back in 1906, there was one African-American preacher named William Seymour. Okay. Go do your history research, or go look it up on Wikipedia, whatever you prefer. This guy, William Seymour, he taught on tongues before he even spoke in tongues himself. A few months after this, the Azusa Street Revivals broke out. And people credit the Azusa Street Revivals as the primary catalyst for the Pentecostal movement. The fastest growing denomination in the world is Pentecostal denomination, Assemblies of God. Sumbuong Gyoe. Hallelujah. Today, we're not going to just have one man teaching on tongues. We're going to have thousands, hallelujah, thousands of William Seymours who are going to break out the closet and they're going to start teaching on tongues. Because that's what the Spirit put in my heart. I got no apologies for that. If one man teaches on tongues, and that sparks off the modern Pentecostal movement, imagine what will happen as thousands preach and teach on it, hallelujah. Now, Satan has been working hard to slander and oppose this teaching. He uses a lot of tactics like fear. And there are some well-respected Christian pastors and teachers, that they say that tongues have ceased already. They're called cessationists. It ceased. I don't agree with them. Hallelujah. I think they need deliverance. Hallelujah. That's just me. All right, that's what I think. Or they might say the same thing about me. You need deliverance. But guess what? Only one of us is doing deliverance. So, one of us got the devil, and one of us casting out devils. I'll tell you right now, I'm not casting out devils by the power of the devil. Just like Jesus was accused of. The house divided against itself cannot stand. Hallelujah. That's just my own personal. You don't have to believe that. Hallelujah. But I love the pastors and teachers. They're good teachers. Now there's some really, I won't name their names. Hallelujah. Now there are others. They believe tongues is for today, but they advocate that it's not for everybody. Or that we ought to refrain from it for ecumenical purposes, for unity purposes. Hallelujah. I don't agree with them either. Now, I used to. That's where I used to be. Hallelujah. But God didn't let me stay there. Brothers and sisters, let me preach something today. God gave tongue talking to the church, along with other supernatural gifts. He gave tongue talking to the church with purpose. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him that. Tongue talking belongs to the church, and we need to take it back. Come on, say it with some fire. Come on. It's time to take it back. Time to take it back. The church has been mute long enough. Y'all mute right now. I said the church has been mute long enough. Now is the time the people of God need to rise up and start talking in tongues like never before. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and go out boldly proclaiming the cross of Jesus Christ. Guess what? The cross of Jesus Christ is folly. It's foolishness to the world. Guess what? Tongue talking is folly is foolishness to the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, if some unbeliever walks in while y'all all speaking in tongues at the same time, they're going to say, you are out of your mind. Hallelujah. And I got a revelation about that passage. I never understood that passage until last night. And I'll share with you what, if you're interested in what I think about that passage. Hallelujah. But it's kind of a hard revelation, so I don't want to share it here. I don't want to confuse you. But brothers and sisters, cross is foolishness. So is tongues. Guess what? So a lot of tongues. There's a lot of things that are foolish that God ordains to bring about his purposes. I'm telling you right now, tongues is one of them. Now, if people want to argue, my advice is don't join them in the debate. Okay? If there's somebody who has a humble and teachable spirit, you should lovingly teach them what you've learned. But there ain't no need to argue if you've been fully convinced and you have experienced that tongues is real and that this is a gift that was given at Pentecost, and not only Pentecost, but remains with us today. Just as Peter said, this gift, this promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. Hallelujah. Because you know what? When it comes down to it, if you argue with somebody about this, you're not arguing with that person. You're arguing with the spirit that has a hold of that person. So don't argue. Pray for people like that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, in the New King James, I memorized it, right? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Not only pulling down strongholds, but casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What that verse is saying is, don't argue. Don't argue in the natural. That's not where your fight belongs. You pray for that person. Hallelujah. Now, let me begin by pointing out that in the book of Acts, whenever you have the Holy Spirit poured out on new converts with power, guess what you have? You got tongues. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel it rising up right now. Oh, hallelujah. I hear a newcomer is going to shock some of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whenever you got the Holy Spirit poured out, you got tongues. Look at chapter 2, verse 4, Acts. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to what? They began to speak in other tongues. They're not speaking Greek or whatever language they knew. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Turn to chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 44. It says, while Peter was preaching the gospel and still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the Lord, who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come, that means the Jews, they were amazed. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know that the gift of the Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles? Because they were going, shakumbo. They were speaking in tongues. How did they know? They were speaking in tongues. Verse 46. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Go to Acts chapter 19. If you're feeling uncomfortable right now, I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. Let's get used to it. Let's get used to it. Hallelujah. Shake it off. Just keep listening. Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Period? No. It says, and they began speaking in tongues. They began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Brothers and sisters, the early churches, they all spoke in tongues. Let me say that again. The early churches, they all spoke in tongues. You weren't a leader unless you got filled with the Holy Spirit. And many times the way that they can tell that you were filled with the Spirit was that you were either prophesy or you were speaking tongues. Because that's what they were used to. That's how it started at Pentecost. And that's what they were used to. Hallelujah. So the question is not, is tongues from God or not? That's not the question. Because a lot of people, they get all freaked out. They just get all like, oh, this is so bizarre. Oh, this is so unnatural. Oh, this is so, I don't like it. I don't like tongues. Right? Oh, I don't like that. It doesn't make any sense to me. Is that from God? Okay, the question is not, is it from God or not? I'll tell you right now, it's from God. The Bible tells us it's from God. The question is tongues still for today? That's the real question. And I'm telling you, the same Spirit who empowered the church in Acts is the same Spirit who comes in power today to empower the tongue-talking church. Hallelujah. God, I believe, He's raising up Spirit-filled, fire-filled, tongue-talking churches all over the world. He's doing it in Muslim nations. He's doing it, hallelujah, in South America. Man, you go to Argentina, you go to Brazil. Brazil is a big Catholic country. You know, people all up on the religious and bowing down to all kinds of images of Jesus and idols, which God has forbid clearly in the Bible. But hallelujah. Some tongue-talking believers went down there and just had some crusades, revivals. Some few people caught it, and guess what? It spread. That's the nature of fire. When people catch the fire, it spreads. Hallelujah. And Brazil is being turned upside down right now. You go to Argentina, it started 20 years ago there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is raising up tongue-talking churches. Hallelujah. And guess what? When it comes down to it, face it. Our church is a tongue-talking church. We were at that joint prayer meeting. We offended more than half of Onuri Church. Why? Because we were just a tongue-talking church. It's offensive. It's foolish. Guess what? You got to get over it. You got to deal with that stigma. Our church needs to learn how to deal with that stigma. Because that's how God's raising up this church. Now, when you look at these texts in Acts, you can see clearly that there has always been a relationship between the Holy Spirit and tongues. Make no mistake about it. You go to a church where the Spirit is being poured out, you're going to hear tongues. This is because the Holy Spirit, He loves to hear tongues. Can I get an amen? The Holy Spirit doesn't like it when you use your mouth to curse. Bleep, 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 bleep. He's not cool with that. He doesn't like it when you use your mouth to gossip. He does like it when you use your mouth to praise Him or to read His words. But you know what? Sometimes He doesn't like that either. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus quotes Isaiah. He says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." You think God's always pleased when you praise Him? Or every church that sings praises? You know, the Mormon church, they sing some of our Christian praises now. You think the Mormon church? Hallelujah. The Mormon church. Had nothing to do with Christianity. Let me tell you right now. Okay. If you got a friend in Mormonism, you got to pray for them. Pray for them. Don't talk to them. Pray for them first. But that stronghold needs to be broken. That's an invisible demonic stronghold. People that I've helped set free from Mormonism, they've always manifested demonically. That's a stronghold. Hallelujah.
But you know, they sing our praise songs. You think that God is pleased with those songs that are sung by them each Sunday? Uh-uh. The Holy Spirit only likes praise when it comes from a spirit of worship. Amen? You better be worshiping the right God too. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said that the Father seeks true worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. But you know what? The Holy Spirit always loves to hear come out of your mouth. He always loves it. It's tongues. You know why? Because he inspires tongues. Since he inspires it, he loves it. That might sound a little arrogant, but everything the Holy Spirit does, he loves. Hallelujah. For you to really speak in tongues, you got to get out the driver's seat. And you got to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up. It is an act of faith. Not of emotion, but it's an act of faith. Therefore, the Holy Spirit always loves to hear tongue. Because you can never go wrong with it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, God. Oh, Lord, I praise you. I feel kind of down right now, but Lord, I praise you. I give you the sacrifice of praise. Oh, come and fill up this room. Come and fill me up. Lord, I invite your presence right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me up, God. Overflow my cup. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit loves that. You don't love it. You're just like, Christian, you look like a crazy man right now. All right, just to relate to you, all right, when I heard this on a podcast for the first time from the mouth of a preacher named Joel Stockstill, freaked me out. Cause I heard tongues in group settings and stuff. But this guy was teaching and he was just like, you know, you got to pray in the spirit. You got to go home and pray in tongues. The one reason why y'all is getting all like beat up is because you ain't praying in the spirit. He just started praying in tongues over the mic. And I was like, what the? What is going on? But you know what? Joel Stockstill has the largest youth group in America right now. It's like 5,000 or 7,000. Most youth groups, it's just the amount of kids that the parents have. That's a different kind of youth group. They're raising up an army. Now, come on, let's just get it out there. Everybody thinks it sounds bizarre. Everybody thinks it's strange. Okay? You're not the only one. I also think it's strange. I do it, but I'm still thinking it's strange. Because let me get it out there. Everybody knows that it's strange. You're not alone. You're feeling, we feel the same thing. Now, here's the advice that you have to take to heart. All right, three words, GSCM, what is it? All right, get over it. Hallelujah. You got to get over it. The only way you're going to move in the realm of faith. You stay in the natural, you're going to always get hung up on it. Hallelujah. God loves it when you submit and you speak forth in faith. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Since God loves it, you should learn to love it too. It took me a while to learn to love it. But I'm learning to love it. Hallelujah. These are the days in which I'm learning to love. Just tongue talking. Tongue talking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Mark 16:17, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. Hallelujah. Tongues is not just for pastors or leaders. It is for everyone who believes on Christ. Because Jesus said, these are the signs that accompany those who believe. Not those who are in the ministry, those who are 30 years old. Those who believe, these are the signs. They will speak with new tongues. Now, I want to dispel the safe teaching today of what I call cautionism. Oh, glory to God. This needs to go out. So if you're listening to this and you're already convinced of it, listen as if you're going to teach it. Listen as if you're going to share it and give it on and share it with somebody else. Don't just be like, I know this. Listen, take some notes. Hallelujah. Bless a brother. Hallelujah. But listen like you're going to teach it. Check this out. There's something called cautionism. It's not cessationism where they believe that tongues have ceased. It's this cautionism. It's where a person says, yeah, I'm open to all the spiritual gifts. Yeah, I believe they're still for today. But I just like to be cautious. I don't want to call division. I just want to be cautious. I just want to get along with everybody. And people, when they say this, man, they say it like I should give them a cookie for saying it. They are so proud of themselves. They're just like, yeah. What do you have to say about that? I'm totally open. I believe it's for today. But I just like to be cautious. Brothers and sisters, let me say something right now. Cautious is not faith. You live your life on caution, you're not living a life of faith. If Abraham was cautious, he would have stayed in the land. If Noah was cautious, he would have never built an ark. If Moses was cautious, oh, hallelujah. Let's be real here. For many people who are well-read in all the arguments, the tongues is not an issue of cautiousness. It's an issue of faith. That's the real issue. For people who say things like that, the issue is really an issue of faith. So my word for people like that is you need to step out the boat to walk on the water. You got all this teaching. You're convinced of it. Well, don't be just hearers of the word only. Do it. Get on that water and start walking. Hallelujah. Put some feet to your faith. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:5, I want you all to speak in tongues. Let me say it again. 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul said, I want you all to speak in tongues. Tell your neighbor that. I want you all to speak in tongues. Now, in this church, there'll be more teaching on the power of the hidden power of speaking in tongues. And I highly recommend a book by Maha Shavda on this topic. Ignore his picture in the back. It's he's an anointed man of God. Hallelujah. Don't judge a book by the back of the cover. Now, JSCM, we got to tap into the power of tongues. We got to tap in to the power of speaking in tongues. Amen? Amen? Now, some of y'all are living your Christian life on tiny little AAA batteries. Hallelujah. You go to like a retreat once a year, you get your fill there, and you try to live your Christian life off of that. That's what so many youth groups in the Korean American church have done for the last generation. Because those retreats, they're good. There's something real there. Oh, hallelujah. They get blessed. But they try to run off that little battery for the rest of the year. That's why your spiritual walk's got no power. Because that little AAA battery going to run out with the quickness. That's no way to live, brothers and sisters. You got to get plugged in to the source. Hallelujah. Now, I got an HD TV at home. Never in my mind had I ever thought I could put batteries in that thing. Hallelujah. The bigger the appliance, you is not running that thing off of batteries. I'll tell you that right now. And the bigger God's purposes for you, hallelujah, You got to plug into the source. You got to tap into the power. And tongues is a way for you to plug into that source. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And some people, they plug into that source and they start seeing HDTV. Visions, hallelujah, start getting more vivid. They go from like little like numbers in their head, like, oh, is that from God? Oh, yeah, that might be a message from God too. Oh, hallelujah, God showed me a vision for you, brother. Show me this crazy mountains. Oh, hallelujah. And you were on that mountain. And you had a black hat on. Actually, you were riding a horse. And next to you was this sister. Now, don't look into it now. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. But when you plug into the source, I'm telling you, you get that HD TV. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're looking on that little, you're looking on your, still your little battery power, little black and white TV, and God wants you to get, upgrade. Hallelujah. Can somebody say upgrade?
Upgrade.
He's gonna upgrade you. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, we got to speak in tongues. And today I'm going to share with you three reasons why you should speak in tongues. Number one, turn to Jude, verse 20. Jude don't got no chapters. It's just one chapter. Some people like to say 1, verse 20. Hallelujah. It's just verse 20. Jude, verse 20 in the ESV. It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues builds up your faith. That's why you got to do it. It builds up your faith. You might be like, well, I don't know if that's in the Bible. Well, it is. It is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Why don't we turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, when you read your Bible daily, when you read it, there's a progression of your faith. And I'll tell you, when you tap into tongues, it releases an explosion of faith that overflows into every area of your life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's because by nature, speaking in tongues is an act of faith. It's an activity of faith. I'm telling you, it's going to take faith for you to open your mouth and say things that you don't understand. But believe that God hears it and God understands it. God's inspiring it. That's all faith right there. Don't tell me it doesn't take faith to speak in tongues. Because it's the most unnatural thing in the world. 1 Corinthians 13 says, you might be speaking in the tongues of men or of angels. You know, sometimes it sounds like Chinese. Or Ukrainian or something. You're like, hey, I heard that before. That sounds really familiar. And then you hear other people's tongues. You're like, what the? That is not a language. That's because it might not be a language of men. Hallelujah. It could be out of this world. But whether it's German or whether it's something from another galaxy, I don't understand a single thing I utter. That's all I know. Majority of the time, I don't understand a single thing I utter. So when I speak in tongues, I move in faith. It takes faith. And the more you exercise faith, you build up faith. Right, check this out. 1 Corinthians 14. You might say, you know, well, praying in the Holy Spirit, you know, that does not mean that, you know, build yourself up in the holy faith. It's not connected. All right, check this out. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 1. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. Check this out. Look at verse 2. One who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to who? To who? Now, somebody might walk into JSCM today, and they might try to argue, hey, since I can't understand what y'all are saying, and I'm not edified, can you please stop making all that noise? They might use chapter 14 as an argument for that. Because later in the chapter, it talks about orderly worship. Now, well, the Bible says one who speaks in tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So check it out, brother who just walked in. It's none of your business. We're not talking to you anyway. I'm not edified. Well, I ain't talking to you. When a man speaks in tongue, he does not speak to men, but to who? I'm talking to my God, thank you very much. Why are you eavesdropping anyway? Hallelujah. Keep reading, verse 3. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. Verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue, check this out. What does it say? Builds up himself or edifies himself. What did Jude 20 say? Build yourself up in your faith by what? By praying the Holy Spirit. It says right here, it's a direct connection. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Hallelujah. So this needs to get into the church. This is a teaching. Number one, you got to speak in tongues. Why? Because it's going to build up your faith. Oh, hallelujah. It's a good reason. It's just going to build up your faith. Oh, hallelujah. All right, so check it out. Just to be clear, there is a distinction between the spiritual, supernatural gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. And over here with just speaking in tongues. Now, hallelujah. When you have the tongues with the interpretation, you're not just speaking to God now. You're speaking to what? To men. Why? Because once you have an interpretation, men can understand it. So now you're not edifying, you're just yourself. You're edifying the church. So when you have the gift of tongues with interpretation, it's the equivalent of prophecy. And prophecy, Paul says, what? Edifies not yourself, but the church. And so Paul, in this whole chapter, is trying to exhort the Corinthians, go after prophecy. Because you know what? When it comes down to it, tongues, you should be selfish to a certain degree. You got to be selfish. You got to build yourself up before you try to minister to somebody else. Amen? Can I get an amen? You got to build yourself up first. So Paul's saying, yeah. But you know, don't stop there. Be look at chapter 13. Love. Look to others. Be selfless. If you really want to be selfless using supernatural gifts, you got to pray for interpretation, or you got to pray for prophecy, the gift of prophecy, because that doesn't edify just you. That's going to edify somebody else. Hallelujah. So we got the gift tongue with interpretation. That's prophecy. You're not speaking to God, but to men now. Over here, when you're just speaking in tongues without the interpretation, you're just speaking to God. All right? Hallelujah. Here you have no understanding. It's mysterious. Over here, you understand it. There's an interpretation being made. This builds up the church. This builds up who? You. This builds you up. Poor brother Jazz, he's in the middle of Germany. Doesn't have JSCM brothers and sisters around to build him up. Oh, brother Jazz, his faith is going down the drain. No! Hallelujah. God, brother Jazz, hallelujah. That brother prays in tongue. Everywhere he goes, hallelujah. One time I was at a Jubilee Wednesday night service. I was up in the bathroom. Taking care of business. And I heard some dude come in. I was like, oh snap. That's like military tongue. That's like something. And I was waiting for him to leave, but he kept us hanging around. I finally had to come out. And I came out, and it was Jazz. But it was just like, he just kept looking at me. He was like, guess what? I ain't worried about Jazz. He needs encouragement. But he knows also how to build himself up. And as long as he keeps doing that, he's going to keep on growing. Same for you. Since tongues builds up your faith in God, and when your faith is built up, you draw into closer intimacy with God. Tongues is firstly, it's a love language. It's the love language of the bride of Christ. So this is under point number one, right? Watch for you to speak in tongues, because it builds you up. It builds up your faith. And under that, you should put, tongues is the love language of the bride of Christ. It builds your faith. And when you build your trust and faith in God, it builds your intimacy with God. Hallelujah. There's other ways to build intimacy with God, mind you. But oh, hallelujah, nothing like tongues. Nothing like tongues. We use it to praise Him. We use it to give Him our full devotion. It's a love language. Sometimes when you try to tell God what you feel, how much you love Him, He just gave you a breakthrough in your life. And just like, oh, man, God, I'm just so excited. You know, you ever see like, you know, hallelujah. Like somebody win like an Oscar or something, like some big award. And they get up and they just say, well, I don't know what to say. Because some of them, when they get so thankful, their words can't describe how they're feeling. Hallelujah. In the same way, in our relationship with God, sometimes words cannot describe. It actually limits us from being able to fully express ourselves. That's where tongues comes in. Oh, that spirit of worship and praise. Oh, it just comes out. So lift it up. Hallelujah. I saw this one lady singing, what's her name? Joanne Rosario. She's a Latin American gospel singer. Hallelujah. And she was singing, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are. Why is she doing stuff like that? You know, when you hear her on a gospel album, you don't hear that. But when you hear her lead worship, she does that. Why? Man, it's just overflowing. She's like, man, I can't speak all this into the mic. I'm gonna keep it in. I'm gonna keep on praising. Because the words of this song are standing in the way of me praising God. And I ain't gonna let nothing stand in the way of praising God. Hallelujah. All right. Number two. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Why should we speak in tongue? Number two. It comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 11. Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Why do you need to put on the armor? So that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You don't got no armor, you ain't going to stand. Oh, I'm getting defeated in my life, Pastor Christian. My Christian walk has been just defeat after defeat. Well, put on the armor. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Now, most people stop on verse 17. Put on your armor. And this is what I did when I taught on equipping the army of God a couple months ago. I listed the pieces of armor and I stopped at the sword of the spirit. And I was like, all right, you got your sword of the spirit. Now you're ready. Now you're ready to stand against the devil's schemes. He can bring to you different kinds of attacks. But as long as you keep putting on that armor. By faith, you keep putting that on the armor, you're going to be ready and equipped. I always stop there. But if you look here, keep reading verse 18. Okay, there's no period here. It seems like Paul is writing a run-on sentence, which means he's continuing the same thought, which means his list is not done. Look at the last piece of armor, verse 18. Praying at all times in the what? Praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. Hallelujah. Period. Thank you very much. Second reason why you need to pray in tongue, it equips you for warfare. You want to be an army of God here? Now we are the army of God rising up. Take back. You want to take back what is God's? That's going to be a little fight. I'll tell you right now. Because the devil, man, He is like a roaring lion. He is playing and he will play dirty. You know, sometimes you get into street fight, you know, back in the Philly, we get into a street fight, be like, yo, all right, look, no eye gouging, no crouch shots. Are we good? No nails. All right, I don't want them scratches. Are we good? All right, let's fight. And you fight. That's how you fight. You do that with the devil? Hey, no eye gouging. I hate you. Hey, no cross shots. I do anything I want. The devil don't play fair. He play dirty. You better be equipped, hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Tongues. I always taught that the sword of the spirit was the only offensive. The offensive. Everything else was a defensive piece of armor. And sword is the only offensive weapon that we have. But I'm wrong. If you look at verse 18, we got not just the sword of the spirit, but we got the praying in the spirit. Hallelujah. That's also an offensive piece of armor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 19. It says, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul says, hallelujah, pray for me that words may be given in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Now you can see clearly here that the apostle Paul, he's a man that is comfortable with getting words that are given to him. He doesn't have to always have the sermon ready on notes. He trusts what Jesus said. Sometimes you appear before the Sanhedrin and the teachers of law, and they will persecute you. Do not worry about what you're going to say in that time, for the Spirit of God will give you the things to say. Paul really trusts that, because he sometimes just goes in, and he's a man comfortable with getting words that are given to him by the Holy Spirit when he's preaching. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because he is also a man comfortable with words being given to him when he's praying. Hallelujah. When you're comfortable with getting words given to you when you're praying, you're going to be comfortable getting words when you're preaching. Because it's the same spirit working on both. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't think y'all got that. Hallelujah. Look at our text again. Hallelujah. Now on your own time. I got to move on. I'll tell you right now. You know when I started speaking in tongues more? I was at the cautious school. You know when I started speaking in tongues more? When I started doing deliverance ministry. Because you know what? I'll be up in those sessions. And back in the day when I first started deliverance ministry, man, we had deliverance sessions like 3 a week. Middle of the week, weekend. And back then, we just say yes to everybody. Hey, yeah, yeah. I need deliverance. All right, let's do it this Saturday. Come on. Ready to go. Get that bondage off of you. Hallelujah. But we'd be in these sessions, and especially people who are involved with the occult. When the anointing of God comes real powerful, in the middle of their session, they start freaking out. They start manifesting demonically. Right? And I would, in the beginning, I didn't know what to do, so I'll just do a shouting match, right? Shouting match. I'm like, be quiet. In Jesus' name. Get out! Get out! No! Get out! No! Yo! Get out! No! No! It's just a big shouting match. I didn't know how to do deliverance in the beginning. But what I noticed something interesting was, when the demons were manifest, and I'm like, is that you? Let's say her sister's name is Jane or something. Hey, is that you, Jane? Is that you, Jane? And Jane would look up and says, yeah, it's me. I'd be like, oh, snap, that ain't Jane. I know Jane, that ain't Jane. Hey, that's not you, Jane, is it? It's me. All right. I don't know. Oh, snap. What's your real name? Mula. Okay. I know it ain't Jane. Jane don't speak Korean. All right. Hallelujah. And then one something interesting is, I'll stop with the demon manifestations. Man, this is, y'all want to be mighty army and y'all scared of this? All right. Check this out. Hallelujah. No, I'm playing. What I noticed interesting was when these people would lose it and they would lose consciousness, or they would be conscious, but then they can't control what they're saying or their bodily function. They're, you know, they're all manifesting, their bodies all shaking, all this stuff. What I noticed is they speak in tongues. Those demons. And man, when a demon speak in tongues, oh snap, it sends shivers down your spine. Even though it sounds like the same thing, oh snap, you can tell the spirit by which they're speaking. Is this like blood curling
hair-raising, hate-filled language. I remember I was trying to help quite a handful of sisters, and this happened. They just start praying. They were just speaking in tongues. I won't demonstrate. Hallelujah. And when I saw that, I was like, snap. I know that the devil, he takes every true spiritual gift, supernatural gift of God, and he has a counterfeit for every true supernatural gift of God. So for the gift of prophecy, right, he has like fortune telling and different kinds of, you know, psychic powers where they try to foretell the future. Gift of healing. You got witchcraft doctors. Man, they be healing whole villages of people, making lots of money. Right? Gift of tongue. Devil also counterfeits. He has a counterfeit of it. And he'll use it to freak you out. He'll use it to whatever his advantage. And I was like, that's not right. We need to take back what's ours. Devil, what you're doing is a counterfeit. But I got the real thing. And I'm not going to hold it in any longer. And I started to pray in tongues more. Because I realized that the demons that we are dealing with are real. And the weapons that we got to fight with, they are also real. And I was not appropriating those weapons properly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So not only did I study the word of God, but I started to pray in tongues more. And it also helped to have Sister Monica on the team. Sister Monica would just, she'd just break out in tongue everywhere. Just tongue everywhere. And what you want to eat? Kimchi jjigae. Snap. Ooh, this girl. Hallelujah. But you know, all that stuff, that really helped me. They helped me get out the closet. Now, like an athlete in the gym, the more I prayed in tongues, the more my faith muscles were strengthened to battle against the enemy. Your war language needs to be developed. In the beginning, it's going to be like, la, la, le. La, la, le. La, la, le. Oh, you're doing it, sister. Come on. La, la, le. Come on, Kim. Wear them la, la, le's out. Come on, just keep doing it. But guess what? An army can't go out to fight with baby talk. It starts off there. If you're not used to it, that's where you might start off. But the more you do it, just like English, the more we use it, the more it develops. And in this aspect, we got to develop our tongue talking. Because it's a war language, brothers and sisters. That's the thing under the second point. Tongues is a war language of the army of God. You know, back in World War II, you know, Mahashavda, he shares about how back in World War II, they hired Navajo, it's not correct to say Indians, but Navajo natives. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the Japanese, every time the U.S. went into the Pacific front, U.S. was getting wiped out. Just whole armies of people getting killed just by a few Japanese. They realized that the Japanese were breaking every code that they have formed using the American language. So the U.S. was like, all right, we got to do something. So they brought in these Navajo Native Americans to use their language as a form of code, a war language. And it was through their war language that the U.S. Army military started, the Marines started to gain a foothold in the Pacific. They were able to gain ground on the islands. All right, because the Japanese just could not break the Navajo code. And they were awarded medals of honor recently. There was a movie made about them called Wind Talkers. Brothers and sisters, just like those Wind Talkers, we have a war language that we can utilize. Oh, I feel the glory of God. We can utilize this war language, and it frustrates our enemy. He cannot break it. What is he praying? Stop that. Stop it! Devil hates it. Because it's our way to communicate with the commander of the army. In a mystery. Hallelujah. And number three. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans 8, verse 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Sometimes, how many of y'all in here, you don't know what you ought to pray for? Amen? Sometimes you don't know what to, you don't know what to pray for. You're like, hey, pray for Brother Song. God bless him. Bless him. What's going on, Brother Song, in your life? Because you don't know what to pray for. Or you praying for one thing, but God actually wants you to pray over here about this topic. Right? Sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray for. We have no clue. What do most people do when they don't know what they ought to pray for? What do? They stop praying. That's the only thing that you can do when you pray with just your mind. I have no understanding of the situation. I don't know what I ought to pray for. So I got to stop. It's a logical thing to do. Hallelujah. But check this out. Verse 26. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Hallelujah. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. In verse 27. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to what? According to the will of God. Oh, glory to God. God has got a perfect will for this church. God has got a perfect will for your life. You might not be walking in it, but he's always calling you to it. You might go your own way and go on a little detour. God, in his grace, does not forfeit easily his plans for your life. I tell you, not everybody in here is walking out the perfect will of God for their life. But guess what? When you pray in tongues, you're like, God, what do you want me to do this year? What school? Should I go to law school? Should I go to med school? Should I marry this girl? Should I marry this girl? You don't know what to pray for. Oh, glory to God. You don't know what God's perfect will is for your life, but guess who knows? Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows. And guess what? He's like, all right. You don't know, and guess what? You're not supposed to know right now. But I want you to pray for it. But I need you to yield. I need you to pray without you even knowing. It's a mystery what it is, but I need you to still pray. Can you do that? Can you still have faith? Can you trust me enough that you'll pray it out even though you don't know the details of it? You're making it happen. It might not even be what you particularly desire, but you're making it happen by praying right now. Are you willing to do that? Oh, glory to God. Are we talking about faith? Hallelujah. Let's talk about faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. Number three, why should you pray in tongue? It is an unstoppable way to consistently pray the perfect will of God. It's an unstoppable way to consistently pray the will of God. It's number three. It's unstoppable. When you get hooked into it, it's unstoppable. Guess what? Why it's unstoppable? Because you're yielding and you're praying that it be done, even though your desires for it may not actually be there yet. And as you pray, you're asking God to change something. You don't know what you're asking him to change. He's changing you. He's aligning you to where he needs you to be. So that you will say yes and amen to every detail of that plan. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And let me say something. Tongues is voluntary. Tongues is voluntary. It is not forced by the Holy Spirit. Once you get it, there may be different ways you people get it. Sometimes people get it in a voluntary kind of led fashion. Some people get it like, boom! They just like get it one time when they get baptized by the Spirit. Different. You might get it differently. But once you get it, you don't wait until the Spirit of God comes upon you and you feel something and then you exercise your will to speak in it. It's not the way it works. You have to stir it up. Because it's voluntary. It's like getting a download of a new language. You know, like in Matrix. It's like, what you want? French, Spanish? I'll take them all. All right, just pop, 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 pop. You got it. And then, you know, Aurora. Me gusta la comida. I don't know. Te quiero Taco Bell. And all of a sudden, you know, they are able to speak, right? And you're like, man, that's Hollywood. That's fiction. No, that's the Bible. Matrix didn't originate that idea. First time it happened, Tower of Babel. God downloaded thousands of languages in one instant. They were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Jim, can you get me that boulder over there? It's like, what? What'd you say? What'd you say? What? Ni hao ma? Morago? Konnichiwa? Oh, what is going on? I'll tell you, it was a bizarre scene. It was one bizarre scene, I'll tell you that right now. And guess what? Hallelujah. It didn't just happen at Tower of Babel, it happened at Pentecost. At Pentecost, God, once again, he released a bunch of languages. Boom! Downloaded it. But this time, it's not to scatter the nations. It's to gather the nations to the glory of our God. To gather his elect. To equip them to reach all the nations where God scattered them himself. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's voluntary, brothers and sisters. So once it's been released, you got to open your mouth. You got to submit your will. And you got to begin speaking. All right. That's the way it works. It's not like, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Okay, there it is. No, it's like you walk in, you're discouraged. You walk in, you had a bad day. And you're just like, I don't feel like praising God. Forget it. No, I'm not going to read his word. I'm not going to pray for my church. I need some prayer for myself. Forget this. I'm feeling some, oh, hallelujah, some perspiration in here. I feel hallelujah. It's voluntary. And as you do that, your feelings will follow, brothers and sisters. I guarantee you that. But even if you don't feel a single feeling throughout the whole Friday fire, God has just prayed the perfect will of God through you. Have you seen the lives that are being changed in this church? Oh, hallelujah. It's because people are praying in the spirit. People are speaking in tongues. People praying the perfect will of God without even knowing it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Tongues, on the third point, it's a prayer language of the priests of the Lord. We have the priesthood of all believers. And priests, they have a certain lingo. Like gangsters, they have a certain lingo. Gangpes in Busan, they have a certain lingo. Hallelujah. Busan has a certain lingo. They have their own language down there. I'm from Daegu and I still can't understand Busan. Morago. Wekano. Ramen 챙겨라. 니가 챙겨라. All right, hallelujah. They have their own lingo. But guess what? The priests of God, they also have their own lingo. And that's that prayer language. Everybody's got a prayer language. If you haven't been experiencing, you need to get released into it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't make that up. I'm telling you, as I'm preparing, boom, boom, boom. Right there. Those three points. Number one, it's a love language for the bride of Christ. Two, it's a war language for the army of God. Third, it's a prayer language of the priests of the Lord. Now, sometimes I ask myself, why do you ordain something so foolish as tongues to bring about your will on the earth? For an answer, you got to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you turn a few pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 27 and 29. Verse 27 and then verse 29. Why does God choose foolish things like tongues to bring about his will on the earth? Verse 27. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Hallelujah. Why did God do that? This is God's prerogative. He did it because he wanted to. what is the real reason why you did this, God? Look at verse 29. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Hallelujah. You might be like, what is this message got to do with Reformed theology? You did all these sermons on predestination, Calvinism. All of a sudden, you talk about tongues. They're like the two most polar opposites. No, it's not. No, it's not. Why does God predestine and elect individuals onto salvation? Why? Why is faith a gift in itself? Saving faith, why is that a gift? You have been saved by grace through faith. And this faith is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Why? So that no one should boast. Why does God elect individuals? So that no one should boast. Why does God use tongues? So that no one can boast in the presence of God. God, I figured out your will that day, and I figured out your will that year, and I prayed it into being. I prayed it. I said, God, give us that church. God, give us that nation, and you gave it to us. God be like, oh, really? Turn on the Blu-ray DVD over here. Hallelujah. Turn on the Blu-ray disc. Show on the behind-the-scenes footage. And God shows you the behind-the-scenes footage, and you here doing all this work, and guess what? You had this small church in that city doing foolish things like tongues, praying the perfect will of God into being, and that is the real reason why God did amazing work in that city. And here is Pastor whatever of whatever church boasting, and here they are. God, how can we boast? God, how can we boast? We just submit ourselves to you. You know, when you speak in tongues, you do more yielding than praying. And it is that yielded, humble spirit that God loves. Because no one can boast in the presence of God. And finally, some people might ask, should all Christians speak in tongues? I had to ask myself this myself. Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit really necessary? Is it essential? Is it for everybody? Can't we just all get along without all that stuff? Let's just get together. Let's just have prayer meetings. Let's do revivals. Let's do it without that stuff. And there are missions organizations that do that. So I'll do it without. I'm telling you right now at this hour, God says, all right, that's enough of that. It's time to restore it. God, he moves in waves. Look at history. He'll move in waves. He made a wave in 1906. He's bringing a wave right now at the turn of this century. Hallelujah. Should all Christians speak in tongues? And I used to ask the same thing. At the heart of this question really lies the old debate over whether the present role of ministry of the Holy Spirit is in the church. What is it? What is the present role of the ministry, Holy Spirit in the church? And many believers say that being baptized in the Spirit is not necessary. And they claim that they can live satisfying and effective Christian lives without speaking in tongues, without being baptized with the Spirit, without moving in supernatural gifts. And then they were citing examples of men and women that have done that. They live pretty effective, satisfying Christian lives without all that foolish tongues, without all that baptism of the Spirit, without all that Pentecostal fire, dancing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. My question to you would be, why would you settle for less than best? Let's deal with the real issue here. If all the supernatural gifts, the baptism of the Spirit and the speaking in tongues is still for today, and there are all these advantages to it, there's all these benefits of it, if it is really for today, why will we not want to open ourselves to everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer? Why would you settle for less than best? Why are you trying to put together a meal using things that you can get at a corner grocery store. And God has given you free access to Costco. Hallelujah. Seriously. Why would you nibble on the free bread that they offer you at a restaurant when there's a huge seafood and Brazilian barbecue buffet right in the back of you? Why? That's my question. Let's deal with the real issue, because it's the issue of faith. Not of preference, not of caution, but of faith. And that's available. And you didn't use it. Oh, we got some answers to also answer in the presence of God when you appear before Him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Oh, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to call JSCM to pray in the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues. I want to challenge y'all. I want to call y'all. Do it 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Try to do it every day. 30 minutes till the end of the year. And this, I believe, is a call of the Holy Spirit upon our church right now at this hour. He wants us to do it together, just as we did the fast together. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray, speak in tongues every day, 30 minutes. Okay, hallelujah. And if you're really hungry, go for 45. Go for a whole hour. If you're really hungry, because you know what? Praying, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, it's like drilling for oil. Sometimes you drill for 30 minutes, and then boom, oh, this oil just starts coming up. That's not when you want to stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So that's my challenge to JSCM, brothers and sisters. Pray in the Holy Spirit at least 30 minutes all together to the end of the year. You miss a day, just get right back on it the next day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I know that there are some in here that haven't been released into it. Or you have been released into it, but you need an extra fire. You need an extra fire. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. We're going to have an altar call then right now. It ain't going to be long because we don't have much time. It's not going to be a long altar call, but we're going to have an altar call. Hallelujah. So if you're ready to respond with faith, you're ready to yield to the Holy Spirit, you want to get released into this, you're like, I want to get in. You come on up here. We'll lay hands on you. And then you know what? If it ain't happened spontaneously, we're going to encourage you. Get your laws. Get your lays. Start wearing them out. Open up your mouth wide, the Bible says. And God says, I will fill it. All right. Hallelujah. So I'm going to play old Pentecostal song. Hallelujah. It's called, there it is. Catch on Fire. So we're going to have a little bit of a Pentecostal. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm Presbyterian in terms of theology. I don't agree with Pentecostal theology, but I like their flavor. Or I like their flavor. So it's not going to be this quiet, oh, I love you, Lord. It's going to be like crazy, tongue-talking, fire-filled, just like it was at Pentecost. That's what we're going to invite right now. We're not going to have it for a long time. We're going to have it for maybe about 5-7 minutes. But I'm going to invite everybody to come up to the front. We're going to release you to pray in tongues. If you feel like it's gotten rusty, you haven't been flowing in a while, let's get those rocks removed. Come up to the front. We'll pray for you as well. Prayer team, stand on the stage. All right, let's take this time. Somebody come on up. Pray on the stage. Intern pastors, come on the stage. All right, let's turn up that music. Hallelujah. We'll invite people right now. Come up to the front and just start asking. Start asking. Start asking. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He who is thirsty, let him come and drink. As the scripture has said, he who believes on me, out of his belly will flow the rivers of living water. Oh, hallelujah. Let's turn that music up. Hallelujah. Turn that music up. Come on. Catch on fire. Let this altar
ablaze with your holy fire.
If you know how to pray in the spirit, everybody pray in spirit. Everybody pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. Let's come in and pray. Pray for our brothers. Pray for this church. The joy of the Lord. Oh, joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, hallelujah. Release the fire. Release that fire. Release that fire. Release that fire. Woo! You're getting fired up. You're fired up. Hallelujah.